This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on November 21st, 2013. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
First item on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2013-15 from Conservative Action Fund. This is the Bitcoin AO again. Mr. Backer, I'm sure that at some time today, someone is going to want to ask you a question, so why don't you come on down and sit at the table and be ready for that.
Thank you.
You're giving us a lot of business today.
Always happy to help. Can I get my frequent flyer card?
We appreciate it. I did want to note that in addition to some very interesting questions on the agenda, we also got some very interesting comments, and comments from outside of what we call the usual suspects, the folks from the Inside the Beltway election law bar, who we appreciate very much that they often comment as well as make requests of us, but it's also very nice to hear from people who are not from the usual suspects, who come from outside the Beltway and are citizens who are affected by what we do here and are paying attention. And we appreciate that you're paying attention. We appreciate that you took the time to comment. So I want to say a special thank you to those folks. We did read your comments, and we're happy to have them. Ms. Selenkoff, would you like to give us a recap of where we are?
Certainly. Thank you, Chair Weintraub. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 13-45-45A and 45B present four draft advisory opinions in response to a request by Conservative Action Fund, a non-connected political committee that wishes to accept, as noted, bitcoins. A privately issued digital currency. At last week's meeting, the Commission discussed three of these drafts. Agenda document 13-45B presents a new fourth draft that's been made public since the last meeting. CAF asks 24 questions, which generally fall into three categories. The first category of questions concerns whether CAF may accept bitcoins, and all four drafts conclude that CAF may accept bitcoins as in-kind contributions. The drafts diverge in their conclusions as to whether the bitcoins are money. The first draft, what I'll call draft A, concludes that they are not money, and drafts B, C, and D do not resolve this question. The second category of questions concerns deposit valuation and reporting. All four drafts conclude that Bitcoin should be deposited, valued, and reported like other in-kind contributions. They differ in some respects as to what kind of in-kind contribution, with draft D providing a slightly different approach to the reporting of the in-kind contributions. Drafts B and D provide examples of how these contributions should be reported. The third category of questions concerns disbursements of bitcoins, and this is where the drafts diverge the most. Drafts A, B, and C conclude that CAF may not use bitcoins to make disbursements for goods and services. Instead, CAF must sell the bitcoins in order to get funds to make disbursements for this purpose. Drafts A and B similarly conclude that CAF must sell its bitcoins and deposit the proceeds in a campaign depository before it may use those funds to make contributions to other committees. Draft C concludes that CAF may contribute the bitcoins to other committees. Draft D, unlike the others, concludes that CAF may disburse bitcoins for both the purchase of goods and services and to make contributions to other committees. The Commission received two comments on the request and four comments on the drafts, as noted. If the Commission approves a draft, we ask for the authority to make technical and conforming changes, and I'm available to answer any other questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Selenkoff. Do we have any comments on any of the drafts? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. I'd just like to observe that, Mr. Backer, thank you for bearing with us to work through what was, or is for some, still seemingly an exotic and novel issue. I've given it much thought, and I've come to the conclusion that we've been a little bit distracted by the novelty of bitcoins. And that although they represent a unique and new type of asset, they are an asset. And they are an asset that can be used for the trade of goods and services, obviously. And it's intriguing that they're new and different in how they're transacted philosophically, economically, and technologically. but our regulatory treatment of bitcoins need not be distracted by those academic issues. Once we decide to fit bitcoins into our regulatory scheme as either money or a thing of value, and they are one or the other for purposes of a fork in the road for determining how we're going to regulate them, I think the legal question for the FEC is quite vanilla. The legal analysis starts with the clear and unambiguous statutory right that Mr. Backer's client has to give and receive contributions. There's no debate about that. Contributions are defined as anything of value. From the beginning of the Federal Election Campaign Act, the FEC has acknowledged that political committees can give and receive things of value, including in-kind contributions, and committees have done this regularly for decades. They've both given and received in-kind contributions. Our political committee guide advertises to the public on page 25 that political committees can give things of value in kind to other political committees. We encourage that, in fact, by advertising it to the public, and we countenance it on many reports that are filed with this committee. And there is a well-established set of rules for receiving, using, reporting, accounting for the disposition of, and reporting the contribution out of in-kind contributions, regardless of the asset classification and regardless of whether the item can fluctuate based on its dollar exchange value. So I believe that the Conservative Action Fund has a clear statutory right to give and receive in-kind contributions, regardless of what we say here today. What he really is asking us is how to. So that brings us to bitcoins. Bitcoins clearly are things of value to many people. They have purchasing value. They have trading value. They have U.S. dollar exchange value. And they can translate the U.S. dollar exchange value on any given day according to objective reference points. That makes bitcoins, in my mind, no different from any other in-kind contribution that political committees can give and receive today. Consider the types of in-kind contributions that this commission countenances already. Barter credit units. I don't know what a barter credit unit really is. I've never owned one. I've never bartered with credit units. But in 1982, in the Barter Pack AO, this commission said that political committees could both receive barter credit units on a private exchange and could expend them to obtain goods and services with barter credit units. I don't know that there's much distinction at the end of the day between a Bitcoin and a barter credit unit. Stock certificates, both publicly traded and non-publicly traded stock certificates. This commission has twice approved at least the receipt in of stock certificates, both in 2000 and 2000-30, the PAC.com advisory opinion, and in 1989-6, the Bollert advisory opinion. From there, silver dollars. This commission in 1980 and 1980-125, the Cogswell for Senate advisory opinion, said that a political committee could receive silver dollars that had a unit, a dollar exchange value of greater than a dollar, and could both receive them, could re-gift them to other political committees, and could expend them for the purpose of purchasing services. There are any number of things of value that are like these bitcoins, and we have quite easily adapted our regulatory regime to regulate them. Bearer stock certificates, bearer bonds, treasury bonds. Treasury bonds exist both in an email exchange or in a piece of paper that represents the value of the treasury bond. But many treasury bonds now are nothing more than an electronic transfer with an account number on them, much like the zeros and O's that represent a Bitcoin. frequent flyer miles and the transfer of frequent flyer miles. Generally, there's not a certificate that represents them. They exist on a computer somewhere. They're a credit account. And they can buy you flights on an airline. They can also, I bought my subscription to the Wall Street Journal with frequent flyer miles that were going to lapse. Prepaid money cards, gift certificates, and discounts from ordinary and usual charges. Something quite intangible, but given to people, and we tell political committees, account for the discount in your reporting as something of value that you received. There are any number of intangibles, electronic mailing lists, a license to use an electronic mailing list, a license to use software, intellectual property that is copyrighted material that we assign a value to. You can't see it or hold it. It's intellectual property, but we allow committees to receive value in kind of copyright to use in their political messaging. Rent is an intangible. And then there are a host of tangible items that we allow to be given, received, given, exchanged. Computers, food and beverages, furniture, photocopies and printing. And then, of course, there are services. Once we focus on the fact that the FEC has been able to regulate the receipt in, the contribution out, and transfer of all of these various types of in-kind contributions, the regulation of bitcoins starts to look quite conventional. Albeit a conventional regulatory construct applied to a new and different kind of asset. Now, Mr. Backer represents that his client understands the regulatory requirements that are applied to all other asset classes, and that his client is prepared to subject its receipt and transfer of bitcoins to the same regulations that have applied to all other types of in-kind assets. Any advisory opinion we issue would be premised upon compliance with the existing regulations, including accurate reporting of the name and address of each contributor and an accurate daily dollar valuation of the in-kind received. So I want to repeat, the Conservative Action Fund does not need our permission to accept in-kind contributions of things of value, including bitcoins. That right inheres in the statutory right they already enjoy. What they need to know is how to handle them and how to account for them and how we want to see them reflected on their public reports. I also want to address one other point of interest, and that is the issue of anonymity and audit trail. Bitcoins are zipped electronically over the internet from one Bitcoin wallet to another Bitcoin wallet. And there is concern that somehow that gives rise to potential anonymity and false reporting of the donor. Well, that can occur on the whole host of assets that I just mentioned. There is no audit trail like a check if I give you a certificate of stock. It doesn't say who owned that certificate of stock on the day before I gave it to you. And we have remedies in place. If somebody reports that they received a certificate of stock or a prepaid card or any other thing of value, including a Bitcoin from John Smith at 123 Maple Avenue at the end of the day, at the end of that audit trail, as a human being. And either John Smith resides and exists at 123 Maple Avenue and will take credit for having given 10 Bitcoins to a political committee, or he will not. And if there is no John Smith there, or if John Smith is found and says, I never gave 10 bitcoins, there are remedies in law already for that under the name of another construct, including refunds and disgorgements. So with that, I'd like to say that I'm prepared to support draft D that is before the commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chairman. And it's interesting. I agree with much of what you've said, and I actually started out in a place that's very close to where you seem to have landed. When this request first came in, I thought, well, that's That's interesting. I will freely admit I had never heard of Bitcoins before the request came in, but I think we do have constructs for dealing with this, and, you know, we just have to figure out which box to put it in, and I thought actually it was going to be an easy one. But the more I dug into this, the more complicated it began to seem. And this is obviously a topic that's gotten a lot of attention from various actors in the federal government recently. There were two separate hearings on Bitcoins just this week. And I spend a lot of time in my evenings this week going through that testimony. I noted that a branch of the Treasury Department seems to have spent quite a lot of time considering how to amend their rules in order to accommodate Bitcoins and other similar. I don't even know how to describe it, whether we should describe it as a currency or whether we should describe it as a thing. And that's part of the problem. You know, I thought it was going to be simple, and then we ended up with four drafts in front of us that came to different conclusions at various junctures along the way. Mr. Backer came in, and I appreciate your coming in and saying you want to get it right. You want to know how to do this properly. We want to get it right, too. And for me, the one of the difficulties is that I think that when you come in with a request like this, and it's got 24 separate questions in it, it's really more amenable to the rulemaking context than it is to an AO context. And that is particularly because we've had many interesting discussions with Mr. Backer about various elements of campaign finance law. He's very experienced and erudite on that topic. But
thank you.
With all due respect, Mr. Backer, it does not appear that you are actually an expert on Bitcoins.
No.
Yes, and I appreciate your acknowledging that, and we aren't either. And we've gotten some comments that are helpful, but the comments are somewhat inconsistent. And it's very difficult to assess on a piece of paper which one of them is right and which one of them is wrong, which is why it would be more useful if we address this topic through a rulemaking and had the opportunity to not only invite witnesses, but maybe do some real outreach and make sure we were getting the right witnesses and the right range of opinions, and not the right range of opinions, but all ranges of opinions, so that we could appropriately assess them and figure out what we have in front of us. We seem to have, you know, we're not 100% sure whether it's currency or not currency. Is it analogous to a security or not so much like security, because the rules change and the answers to your questions change depending on which box we put it in. I had originally thought that I would be on my original impulse was closest to draft A, the original draft that our counsel prepared for us. But I think at this point, I am not comfortable voting for even that draft, because I'm not sure that it gets it right, and I'm not sure that we are in a position to make that call based on the information that's in front of us today, as helpful as I know you have tried to be, Mr. Backer. Bitcoins do raise some very interesting questions about whether disclosure can be adequately done with the best of intentions, using when it is the Bitcoins that are being transferred, and I'm not prejudging the answer to that. I just think there's a question there that I've read a lot about the way that Bitcoins are used by people who are particularly seeking anonymity, and we have a statute that requires transparency. In addition, I have some concerns about what restrictions might need to be put in place to ensure that the Bitcoins weren't coming from foreign sources. And I just don't know the answer to that right now, whether we would need special rules for that or not. I think that's a subject that we should probably explore in greater depth. We don't have a draft that says, no, you may not accept Bitcoins, and I would not want to, because I don't think there's anybody who wants to vote for that draft. I know I wouldn't want to vote for that draft. What I think, what I've suggested to my colleagues, and this is an idea that I will admit, popped into my head in about the last 24 hours, so we weren't able to pull together a document in time to propose this. But I think this might be an area where it might be appropriate for us to work together and with the advice of our counsel to try and craft an interim policy that would provide perhaps a little bit of breathing space for folks and not let people walk out of the room with the wrong impression that in not issuing an advisory opinion, the FEC was saying no to bitcoins. I'd be interested in working with my colleagues on trying to put out something like this, that on fairly short order, hopefully even by the end of the year. What I would envision is a policy that would have a sunset in it of perhaps a year, which would give us the time to do a rulemaking, to bring in witnesses so that we could adequately consider all of the issues here and come up with a rule going forward that would provide good guidance and would be appropriate to the vehicle that we're discussing. Congress, when it enacted the FICA, put in very low limits on donations that come in anonymously and donations that come in cash, and bitcoins seem to share some of those features. Obviously, there's no provision in the FICA that restricts bitcoins because they didn't exist when the statute was drafted, but I do think that Congress did have concerns about the kinds of contributions that lend themselves to anonymity and to cash transactions in order to protect the important disclosure function of the law. So I'm not saying no, but honestly, I don't think that I'm prepared to sign on to any of the drafts today or that we have the information in front of us from which I could conclude that any of these alternatives is the right alternative for Bitcoin. And as I said, you want to get it right, I want to get it right. I think that it might take a little bit more time and information for us to do this the way it ought to be done. Some topics just lend themselves more to rulemakings than to advisory opinion requests, and I think that this might be one of them. So that's where I am. Commissioner Ravel?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't want to reiterate what's already been said, and I do also agree with much of what you said, Commissioner Goodman, but I come down exactly where you are. Madam Chair, I have a lot of concerns about the fact that there is so much unknown about bitcoins, and I too have been doing an inordinate amount of reading. And most recently, I read an article that was in law360.com, and they quoted a U.S. Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs, which announced that they had initiated an inquiry into virtual currencies. And it says, the committee noted that, quote, the expansive nature of this emerging technology demands a holistic and whole government approach in order to understand and provide a sensible regulatory framework for their existence. And that is exactly what I believe is the case here. While we all want to encourage this new technology, and it's not just the technology. We want to encourage people to participate in the political process and give to candidates and other political matters. I think it's premature for us to make that determination now, and I like the approach that you have suggested to do an interim policy and then get information from others who are more knowledgeable about all the issues that were raised that are frankly of concern to me. And I think it's part of our regulatory obligations to ensure, despite the fact that we have no concerns about your organization and your client in terms of their goodwill and their desire to comply with our rules. I just would feel more comfortable if we take this a little more slowly.
Commissioner. Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me start off by echoing something you said earlier about some of the comments that we received from people and groups that we don't normally hear from on, you know, on a regular basis, who added perspectives and information that I thought were very well taken and very interesting, and certainly provided greater context and understanding in an area where, like all my colleagues, I'm learning on the fly. I think we all are throughout the government, and also I think throughout the public. It seems like right now we're at a flashpoint where this is starting to capture the public's imagination, whereas maybe before it was more kind of it was known, but in certain circles it sounds like, just from coverage in the Washington Post, Time Magazine, other sources, it seems like it's now starting to garner sort of a national, garner the national's attention in a way that it hasn't before, and it certainly has piqued my interest as well. Having said that, I'm still, I mean, what I don't know so far outweighs what I do know about bitcoins, that I understand my colleagues' concerns about, not exactly, still trying to grapple with what exactly we're dealing with here. And so it's not easy to completely wrap our arms around exactly what bitcoins are and what the full implications of their introduction into the campaign finance system are with respect to our regulatory regime. Notwithstanding that, Mr. Backer, on behalf of his client, presented a legitimate question through the advisory opinion process set forth in Section 437H of the Act, and under that, we are given 60 days to give an answer, and so sometimes I wish there were kind of an escape hatch provision in 437H, but we have to do something. And so I'm prepared to support Draft D. I think for many of the reasons that were set forth by the Vice Chair, I think it's the most coherent approach to dealing with this, with capturing bitcoins within our regulatory system. I'd note that all the drafts would allow the Conservative Action Fund to receive bitcoins as in-kind contributions, and then the question was, what could they do with them at that point? And I think under the facts as presented, I think certainly the most logically compelling rationale would be that not only can they receive, if they can receive them as in-kind contributions, then they should be able to also subsequently make in-kind contributions to other political committees, or then to use them to purchase goods and services. And I can't find, again, a compelling reason why that shouldn't be allowed under these circumstances. That was the approach that was was taken in previous advisory opinions issued by this commission that the Vice Chair recounted well. The Cogswell AO dealing with the silver dollars, the Barter Pack AO dealing with the credit units. There's the different drafts deal interestingly with the issue of stock. There was the Bevel AO, which is 1986-18, where money transferred from a campaign account into basically a securities account. I think it was called a cash management account. But then you could draw down from that account. Basically, in essence, it was another cash account. And we said that under the requirements that any disbursements come out of a depository of the campaign, any monies that may be in that cash management account need to be transferred back. And I think that was the right conclusion. Certainly, it's compelled by our regulations. Then there's the PAC.com advisory opinion in 2000. I think the official site is 2000-30, which used the Bevel advisory opinion as a precedent, but I'm not sure that it really fits. In this case, the question was if a committee receives an in-kind contribution in the form of stock, can it then subsequently make an in-kind contribution of that same stock? And the opinion said that no, you would have to first liquidate that. And I'm not sure that really is compelled by the Bevel opinion, and I don't think it's compelled by our regulations. I mean, in some ways it looks the same, but I think that there is some difference. And I do think that the PAC.com advisory opinion is actually the outlier. I think the more consistent approach has been the approach that we saw in the earlier AOs, the Cogswell and the Barter Pack AOs. But having said that, I am, at the appropriate time, willing to support Draft D. If it doesn't pass, I think that something is always better than nothing. And like I said, I understand very, you know, very clearly the concerns that my colleagues have with respect to what the introduction of Bitcoins into the campaign finance system might mean, and that having a little bit more time and especially more information from a variety of different voices would really, I think, educate us all and help us on that front. And I'd certainly be willing to work with my colleagues to craft an interpretive rule that would allow Bitcoins the regulatory breathing room that it needs in order to continue to develop technologically, while at the same time have that rule allow for transparency and put in place you know, safeguards to make sure that Bitcoins couldn't serve as a vehicle for undermining the anti-corruption rationales underlying the act that we administer and enforce. So I, like I said, I'll be willing to. I support Draft D. I think it's the correct one under the circumstances that as they're presented before us. Should it fail, I will be more than happy to work with my colleagues to find an interpretive rule that I think handles this in the best manner possible. Because I do think, I think you're at the. You're riding the wave on this one, Mr. Backer, in the sense that this issue is, I think, not going to go away anytime soon, and I think we need to have something in place to provide further guidance, not only in terms of how do we categorize it, but what do you do in terms of valuation, in terms of proper reporting, and so forth. So that's where I am at the point.
Thank you. Commissioner Walther.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I'd like to say that Mr. Backer, you've done a great job trying to educate us as quickly as you can on something that's really hard to learn about. This so far is my Bitcoin library, and it's all been read, but not, of course, fully understood. And I think this is the concern that I have. I've come a long way in my own thinking in the last few weeks on this. I'm reluctant to call it a currency, but methodology for the time being. And I'm over the hump pretty much on the value issue. I'm really concerned about some of the issues that involve the actual handling of this type of property. But I would like to call your attention to a couple things that, and I don't think it's quite as simple yet, at least for us, as it is for, as it may seem, because, I mean, if it were, we wouldn't be having two Senate hearings in 1 week talking about the implications of this. All intentioned, I think, because they think it's a serious thing to consider. The only exception to what I say is my 14-year-old son said, "Dad, everybody knows what Bitcoins are." And then he went into this long thing. It was about 99% what everybody's saying that we're supposed to be learning right now. So it is out there in some areas. But in the most recent comment by the Bitcoin Foundation, and honestly, they've done a wonderful job here trying to bring us the information. But it says things like, Bitcoin transactions are also private in the sense that blockchain reflects only the public key addresses of Bitcoin senders and recipients and does not reflect the private identity of the owners of those public keys. And then I recognize that it says that if a merchant wants to accept Bitcoins, they can have conditions before they actually accept it. But as it goes down further, it says the technologies are still being developed that will make it be even easier for campaigns to ensure that they comply with donation limits. And I think the point is, as things are moving so fast at the moment on everybody's knowledge and thinking about this, I'm a little reluctant to just jump right into the fray full tilt. I honestly think if we had 30 days or so and you came back with, you know, something more detailed with respect to what your representations might be, you might probably would get a yes answer out of me, but I'm not ready to do that. And I think the idea that the chair had about us trying to pull together a way to adopt a policy that would satisfy most of these concerns that we're raising might be a good idea. And we do have these drafts that have come out, but frankly, there's clearly interest in the public about this, but to ask the public to respond to those drafts and for us to be able to consider them is pretty hard to do at this point, and feel we really have given it all that's out there to consider.
Commissioner Hunter.
Thank you. I agree with what the Vice Chair and Commissioner Peterson have said. And similarly, the comment that I believe Commissioner Walther was referring to from the Bitcoin Foundation, I think, they also note that Bitcoin contributions are no more or less anonymous than other forms of contributions. And there's no reason why Bitcoin contributions should not be treated in the same way as text messages. As with text messages, campaigns can require the provision of an attestation of personal information as a prerequisite for the acceptance of donations above the allowable limits for anonymous contributions. So even though, as the Vice Chairman discussed, this is a new form of currency, but it does fit within our regulatory framework, and we've been asked a question, and we were able to sort of bend over backwards and spend a lot of time on the text messaging one to make sure that people were able to do that. I think we have an opportunity to do that. That doesn't mean, of course, that I wouldn't be willing to work with my colleagues in the future on an interpretive rule or a rulemaking, but I think that there's enough information here to treat them in the same way we have other relatively new technologies like text messages and also in-kind contributions that happen on a daily basis today. So I, too, will be able to support Draft D today.
Thank you. And you raise an interesting point about the analogy to text messaging. The first time, you will recall, that we got a text messaging AO request, we were not able to issue guidance. And it was only when later requesters came along with more and more information that more commissioners, sufficient number of commissioners were comfortable enough that we knew there were sufficient checks in place to make sure that we had we could obtain the necessary disclosure under the Act that we were able to go forward with that. And, I mean, text messages come from phones, and phones are generally in somebody's name. There's a name attached to the phones. In fact, one of the concerns that we had at the time with the text messaging was, well, what about these burner phones, I'll call them to use the colloquial expression, and we were told that those phones would not be used under the plans that were submitted to us. So that alleviated our concern on that front. I do think that, you know, it's an interesting balance. We have been able to deal with some fairly complicated issues through the advisory opinion process, but with an advisory opinion on the shortened timeline, and then we just sort of depend on who's out there paying attention and they choose to comment, there isn't really a lot of opportunity to do any outreach to try and solicit more comments. We often don't solicit comments in the rulemaking. We just take what comes. But I think we have that opportunity to make sure that we get a full range of viewpoints on that. And I think this is one in particular where a greater range of viewpoints would be very beneficial to us. As I said, There's no no draft. No one is saying no. But in terms of framing the appropriate regulatory response to this, I think that some of us just feel like we need more information in order to make sure that we make that call in the right way. I will just note a small note of caution for folks out there who are in the political world or are thinking about bitcoins that we're not saying no. It's obviously it's up to you, but we have seen committees burned by when investing in volatile entities. We've seen it with campaigns that invested in the stock market and the stocks went down, and all of a sudden they didn't have the resources that they thought they had. So I think that's obviously a call for every political committee to make for themselves what they want to put their resources into and what kind of resources to accept. But it does, I think, pose some special challenges and some risks for folks who are dealing with less traditional investment vehicles that have more volatile values that go up and down. But that's their call. I don't know whether anybody has any further comments or Commissioner Wall.
I do have a question regarding this, where it says technologies are being developed that will make it easier for campaigns to ensure that they comply with donation limits. Do you know what's going on in that regard?
Not from a technical perspective, but I do. I'm told by people who are more technically proficient in this field than I am that there are efforts to reduce the level of anonymity that's involved in Bitcoins. Right. But again, there's that's a technology solution, not a regulatory solution.
Thanks.
But it might inform the regulatory solution.
Right.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
Will you entertain a motion?
I will certainly entertain a motion.
So that we can literally go through the motion?
Yes, we will go through the motions.
Madam Chair, with respect to advisory opinion request 2013-15, Conservative Action Fund, I move that the Commission approve agenda document 13-45-B, also known as Draft D.
Thank you. The Vice Chairman has moved approval of agenda document 13-45B, Draft D, on the Conservative Action Fund's request in advisory opinion request 2013-15. And I'm sure were it to pass, you would be happy to authorize the appropriate technical and conforming edits for the staff. Is there any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
No?
No.
Motion fails 3-3 with the Vice Chairman, Commissioners Hunter and Peterson voting in favor, and Commissioners Walther, Ravel, and myself voting against. We have not seen the last of Bitcoins at the FEC. We will continue to work on these very interesting issues. We thank you for presenting them. I'm sorry we couldn't answer all of your questions today, but I am confident that we will answer your questions at some point in the hopefully not too distant future. Thank you, Mr. Backer. That concludes our discussion of Draft Advisory Opinion 2013-15.